الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded us and recommended that we should begin everything, every action with in the name of Allah by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began his kalam also with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which is the first ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha. I want to remind myself and you, not only of the barakah of this, obviously there is barakah in beginning anything with the name of Allah, but also there is safety for us, there is protection for us. Because when we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before we begin anything, then automatically our attention is drawn to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, that He knows what we are doing, He knows the intention behind what we are doing, and therefore we correct our intention and we correct our action. And if we were about to do something about which there was doubt, inshallah we will not do something knowingly which is haram, so I won't mention that. But maybe we were doing something which we were not sure about, but we started doing it. But the moment we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then we say, well, this thing, should I do this or should I not do this? I'm not sure, because I started this thing in doubt. Is it jais, not jais? Is it something which is worth doing, not worth doing? So immediately you stop yourself from that action and you check and you find out whether this action is correct, not correct. Is it worth doing, not doing? And thereby we protect ourselves from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very important for us to obviously do things consciously. The idea of saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not to simply say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and then continue to do whatever we were doing. But the whole point of taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to become conscious. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Imran, the first quality of the people of intelligence, Al-Ulil Al-Bab. And what is the first quality? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِ. So the very first quality of somebody who is intelligent is the fact that this person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of his life. And that's the beauty of the bayan of the Qur'an, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, standing, sitting and lying down, which refers to every single aspect of your life. Whether it is domestic, whether it is internal, whether it is private, whether it is public, in every aspect of our life, the believer remembers Allah Jalla Ala. And when he begins the action, when he begins the speech, when he begins doing anything, when he's going to start eating food, he says Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When he leaves his house, he says Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When he enters the house, he says Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Every single action, small or big, begins with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the greatest protection for us, because when we do that consciously, and we should do that consciously, then automatically our attention is drawn to, is this action going to please Allah or not? Is this thing which I am about to say, is it going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? And of course, as I have said before, if we know that it is going to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then alhamdulillah, we do it without hesitation. If we are sure or we know that it will not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we do not do it, no matter who else is pleased or not pleased. And the third situation is, if there is a matter of doubt, I'm not sure, does this please Allah or not, then we do not do it until we clarify this doubt, until we clear this doubt to find out whether it's something which is pleasing to Allah or not. The reason I'm saying is that we are living in a world today, and ideally we should have said that all of these things which I'm saying, they apply only to those people who are not Muslims. All corruption in society is only in the non-Muslims. And Muslim society is pure, and Muslim society is free from corruption. But you know and I know that this is not true. If I were to say that, that would be a misstatement of fact. That is not true. Muslim society and non-Muslim society, there is absolutely no difference. That's the sad reality of today. There is no difference, absolutely nothing. And as a matter of fact, one way of speaking, Muslim society is worse, because we have the same evils despite the fact that we have the kalam of Allah with us. We have the same evils despite the fact that we have the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with us. So in a way, we are even worse than the people who are not Muslim, because at least they have an excuse to say that they never accepted Allah, or they don't know Allah. No one introduced Allah to them, or they didn't know, whatever it was, right? What is our excuse? What is it that we are going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What will we say? We better think about this, because the time will come when we will have to say, there is no escape from that. Then what is the answer? So at least prepare some nice answer and write it down and so on. And make a whole book and tell people when they bury you, put the book also in the qabr. That will help. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. We have to straighten our lives before the time comes when we have to go before Allah. And only Allah knows that. We know that this time will come. There is absolutely no doubt about this fact. And when that time comes, it comes without warning. For the most part, those people are very fortunate and they are very lucky that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them some warning signs. You know, people get some terminal illnesses and then they run around from hospital to hospital and so on and so on. But it's one way of looking at it, and that's the way I look at it, is that, of course, take whatever treatment you have to take, but that terminal illness of that kind, which you get and you know that this has really no cure, it is a huge blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very major blessing. Everyone knows that you will die. Nobody denies this, but nobody knows. But this thing, when you have this terminal, we don't ask for this. Alhamdulillah, let us be very clear. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for khair everywhere. We do not ask for these things. But if it happens, if it is a qadr, then we also thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Alhamdulillah, you gave me the opportunity to make tawbah. You gave me the opportunity to correct my affairs. You gave me the opportunity to ensure that whatever I owe to somebody, I completely fulfilled all those dues, I still have some time. Right? And somebody who just wakes up in the morning and drops dead, and we know such instances. I mean, they don't have this. Marge nagahani is what Udu, kaayek jo mot aajai. So Allah Ta'ala, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked protection from death like that, without warning. We ask Allah to protect us from that. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to make tawbah before we die and to accept our tawbah and to enter us into Jannah bi ghairi hisab, inshaAllah. And remember always that we begin everything with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us make this into a conscious habit, not into an unconscious habit. We're doing something without sense. No. Consciously do it. If you sit down, you say Bismillah. You stand up, you say Bismillah. Whatever, say Bismillah. And then remember that this Bismillah is the greatest protection for us, because instantly it draws our attention to the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we ensure that the action or the speech or whatever is correct. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.